You've heard this before, and we'll say it again and again, that the matter of having our eyes open. The song went a little bit further and talked about having our ears open and our mouth open, that we might hear, that we might speak. But as we look around us today and see all that's going on and aware of everything that's going on, and we wonder whether or not anybody's eyes are open as to what's happening. And we do need to have our eyes open. So this needs to be our prayer in Psalms 119 and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And how do we judge anything, or how do we measure anything? We measure it by the word of God, not by our reasoning or our thoughts, but by his word. And we need to realize and see what's really going on according to God's word. We have a testimony of Paul that the Holy Spirit has recorded for us. If you'll look at that in Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Acts chapter 26. Here we find that Paul was given his testimony, and the Holy Spirit has recorded for us about how that God called him, changed his life, and that he was had a mission of going about to open the eyes of others, and which is really reflecting what God is to do for us and opening our eyes. And so in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We need to pray that God would open our eyes, that we might see the real darkness that's about us, and then that which is the light of God. Now, darkness has always represented evil, and that which is wrong, that which is filthy. And we need to get our eyes open that we might really see what's going on about us. It seems as though, as I said earlier, that we seem to be going about with our eyes closed and not really realizing what's happening. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. I've shared with you before, but let me share with you again an experience I had. I never will forget it. While I was in the military, we went to Hong Kong, just off of China. And at the time we were there, it was a British colony. And so we had a lot of English-speaking people that were there. And I wanted to find a restaurant that had some food that I might could recognize. That Chinese food, I learned that if it didn't crawl off my plate, I ate it. If it did crawl off, I tried to stab it and kill it before it got away and eat it. But I never asked what I was eating. But I wanted to find maybe a Western restaurant, and there were some around. And so I was walking down the main part of Hong Kong, and I was looking and trying to see if I could recognize anything that would be similar or close to American style. And there'd be a lot of signs in Chinese, but also, and then there was a lot of English signs. And so I could make out some of the things that were there. And as I was walking along, there was a woman that was following me. And she came up to me to ask me if she could help me. Well, I thought she was a prostitute, and there was a lot of them that did that. And so I told her, no, I'm not interested in that, and walked away from her. Well, she continued to follow me, and she came up again and said, no, I'm not a prostitute. Said, can I help you? It looks like you're looking for something. And I said, yes, I'm looking for a restaurant that might have some American food as well as Chinese, and that I could get something to eat. She said, oh, I know of a good restaurant, and said, I'll take you to it. And I said, well, thank you. And so she led the way, and we went about a block or a block and a half and came to a clothing store, and where they sold clothes and all. We went in. She went into that store, and so I followed her in there, and thinking, well, maybe she didn't understand me, that I was looking for a place to eat and not to get dressed or buy clothes. Well, we went through that clothing store, and at the back end of it, there was another door, and she opened that and went through it, and we got into a meat market. I said, well, that's getting closer. Well, at least some food here, but I was wanting something that was already cooked and that I could eat. Well, we went through the meat market, got to the end of it, but it was real dim inside, and I could just barely see, and I could see tables and people sitting at the tables and chairs at the other tables. And there was a, looked like someone walking around like a waitress. And so I assumed that was a restaurant. And she said, now, this is a very good restaurant. They understand English. And I said, well, it's awful dark in here. She said, well, just stand still and your eyes will get adjusted to the darkness. That statement stayed with me. Stand still and your eyes will get adjusted to the darkness. Darkness represents sin. And today Christians are standing still in the sin that's around there, and our eyes are getting adjusted to the sin to where no longer do we blush, no longer are we embarrassed, no longer does it bother us at all. We need to pray that God would open our eyes that we might really see sin as it really is, how ugly, how destructive, how horrible sin is. And so in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall, and at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. In the time of Jeremiah, and even more so today, we have come to the place where we're not ashamed of all of the abominations that's going on. Now today you might we'd ask a question when somebody recommend a movie to us or something. Well, does it have any bad words in it? Well, no, it doesn't have any bad words in it. Now today they don't say that. Well, not as many. They don't have as many bad words in it. It doesn't make any difference whether it's one or two or anything. There don't need to be any curse words. There don't need to be any type of profanity in our entertainment or anything else. We've become accustomed to it, where we're willing to listen and to hear and just to mingle in. We're not ashamed anymore at all of the filth and ungodliness going on. We need to really pray that God would open our eyes, that once again we would recognize the filth that we're living in here in our state and even in our community. And we look at Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19, find a similar scene that is there in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. And here we find that the people were getting used to what was going on that was wicked and ungodly. And so in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that thy fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Not only is this sin that we're living in and all about us destructive, the killings, the murders, the cheating, the lying that's going on, and all of that, that sin comes back upon us. Sin will never give you anything good. He'll dress it up and try to pretend that it's good for you and that you're really living a life, but it's deadly. It will destroy you. It will never bring anything profitable to you or good to you. We need to have our eyes open to realize that we're not to be involved in these things, and we ought to see what's going on and be willing to turn from that darkness to light. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, Isaiah 3 and verse 9, the question is, again, is shown to us what sin is and what's going on. And here today, this event, how it was in Isaiah's time, is actually repeating itself today. Very strong. Look at it now in Isaiah 3 and verse 9. The show of their countenance doeth witness against them, and they declare their sin. Now, they are talking about their sin. They're publicizing their sin. They declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Used to, you wouldn't even think about talking about homosexuals or same-sex marriage. Man, you'd almost get sick even thinking about it. And now today, it's publicized as if it's all right. And now in our land, in our time today, we need to have our eyes open where we have now, our nation has developed as... has created laws making homosexuals, same-sex marriage good. We have laws that say it's okay, it's right. God needs to open our eyes that we might see how deadly it is, how bad it is. It will destroy the very foundation of our society. It's against everything that God teaches. God calls it an abomination. Not just a sin, but an abomination. The worst of worst that's involved in it. We need to have our eyes open to see all of the filth and ungodliness that's going on about us. We're not even ashamed anymore. Man, I'm getting embarrassed, and pray God would help me to be embarrassed. I don't even like to go to Walmart anymore. You talk about a cesspool of ungodliness and of how people dress and how they act. I mean, it's shameful. We need to have our eyes open to see how bad it is and what's going on, that we might turn to the light. Now, the light is things that are wholesome, where a person considers their body to be decent and other people to be decent and how they conduct themselves and to be truthful. Well, turn to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And here we find that to go to the light from the darkness, as we see how dark it is, how evil it is, we need to have our eyes open to see where the true light is. And in John chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He didn't say I'm part of the light or one of the lights. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now today we've come in, and even in our churches, where that we are still walking in darkness. We claim to be in the light, but we're not following Jesus. We'll follow everything that might be under the religious term and not really in the Word of God. To follow Jesus, you must be in God's holy Word. Thus saith the Lord. And our standard and our barrier is the Word of God. Not a substitute, not a compromise, not something that's close to it, but the actual Word of God itself. We need to have our eyes open that we might see the reality of sin and see the reality of wholesome living, which is in Jesus Christ only and in His holy Word. Amen or oh me. Then we come to the place in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. As we need to pray that God would open our eyes that we might see the reality of what's going on now in our society. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Now, you've got to remember the words of night, darkness, that's talking about sin. The word day and light is talking about righteous living through Jesus Christ. So in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Romans 13 and verse 11, the Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, to start off with is to realize the seriousness of the hour. We need to realize, we need to wake up, we need to have our eyes open and see that it's time for Jesus to come. It's closer than it's ever been before. All the prophecies are being fulfilled. We need to have our eyes open to see the prophecies of God, to see what God is doing today, and realize that we need to quit playing church and get down to business with God. Now notice the next verse, verse 12. That the night, evil, ungodliness, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. We need to have our eyes opened and to see the ungodliness, the compromise that we're making in our lives as children of God, where we're keeping our mouth shut when we ought to say something, when we're not complaining against that which is evil, but complaining against that which is good. And we need to realize that this is the time that we need to quit playing around, recognize and call sin a sin, and do what God would have us to do according to His holy word. And verse 13, let us walk honestly. Boy, wouldn't that be a breath of fresh air? If God's people, just God's people, would be honest and truthful and not deceitful or lying. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How important it is that we have our eyes open that we might see the ugliness, the filthiness, that once again we would blush at sin. We'd be ashamed at all that's going on about us and turn to the light. Oh, what a blessing it is. Go back to Acts again. I forgot to tell you in Acts 26, put a marker there so you can come back to it again. We'll be referring to it a couple of times in this time. Acts 26 again, verse 18. To open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. We need to have our eyes open to realize that the power of Satan has been defeated by God. It's powerful when you're out of God's fellowship. It's powerful when you turn away from God. But God has overcome sin, and we have that victory through Jesus. I like John chapter 1. Man, this is one of my favorite passages, but turn there for a moment. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This gospel of John is a powerful gospel. It's different from the other gospels in that it approaches the things that Jesus did from God's viewpoint. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see the virgin birth of Christ. You see the development of Jesus physically and spiritually and proving that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. In John, it doesn't mention the virgin birth of Christ. It starts out with Jesus as the Almighty, and we see the power of God. The gospel of John is the gospel of victory that we have through Jesus Christ in all the areas of life. And so in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking about Jesus. He's the Almighty. He's in the very beginning. And then in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. We're not talking about now approaching Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem and growing up and developing in that and all God and all man. But this is approaching Jesus as who He really is, the Almighty. In that light, now in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Get the victory that is here. We've got a number of switches in this auditorium that will turn the light on or off. There's not a switch to turn darkness on. Think about that for a moment. You cannot turn darkness on. Darkness cannot overtake the light. You turn the light on to overtake the darkness. The light has a supreme power. The absence of light will allow darkness to reign, will allow darkness to be. And our nation today, our leaders are trying to get us to remove the light. Anything dealing with the Bible, anything dealing with God, anything dealing with Jesus, until they come to a place of a great tragedy, and what's the first thing out of their mouth? Pray to God. They need to turn on the light. The light, the darkness is too great. But the fact is, the light overcomes the darkness. The darkness cannot overtake the light. The victory, the complete victory, is in the light, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to have our eyes open. We don't have to be afraid of sin. We have the victory over sin only in Jesus Christ. You cannot conquer it yourself. You get tangled up in sin. You try to turn over a new leaf. You try to correct yourself, and you will just get entangled more in sin like in a web. But when you turn to Jesus, and you let God take over your life, and you be obedient to Him, then you will have the power over sin. You can repent of it, and you can serve God. All the victory we have, we need to have our eyes open to see the victory that we have in Him. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. My, what a powerful message that is here. as we need to have our eyes open to see the reality of sin and the reality of the power of God. Oh, praise God. We serve a God that is the only God. There are no other gods. He has all the power. There is no other power outside of him. There's nothing that can overcome God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That is in obedience to God's word. That means in following Jesus. Now verse 13. Who hath, not who shall, but who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. In Jesus Christ, we have victory over sin. And brethren, we need to have our eyes open and we don't have to run from sin. We need to turn on the light. I've shared with you before, but it's a great example that I'll never forget. At Trinity Baptist Church here in Ada, across the street from us, there was a little restaurant, a drive-in. And back in the 60s when I was there, the men who might have a problem, they'd not come in the office and want to talk to me there. You know, they don't want to come for counseling. That's the women. We'll send our wives in to do that. But they wanted to talk to me. So they'd come in and they'd say, "Preacher, let's go over and get a cup of coffee." And we'd go over to the little drive-in. We'd have a cup of coffee and they'd share their problems and we'd talk about the Lord and how God could help them with their problems. Well, as I would go into that little drive-in, they had some tables in there, not very many, where you could sit and drink coffee or eat a meal. They had a little counter there. And as I'd go in, there's a table where a group of men were sitting. And these men would sit there quite often. And at times as I'd go in, they'd be in there, and all of a sudden they'd stop. When I walked in the door, they stopped doing what they were doing. I didn't know what they were doing. And they would watch me. And if I'd look at them, they'd look down, but then I'd notice that I could see how they come up. They were watching me and waiting for me to leave. And when I'd leave, they'd go back to what they were doing. Well, after a while, I asked the owner. I walked in there, and they weren't there. And I said, "You know these men that's sitting at these tables over here, and when I walk in, they stop doing what they're doing." He said, "Yeah." I said, "What are they doing?" He said, "You don't know what they're doing?" I said, "No, I don't know what they're doing." He said, "I asked him, what are they doing?" He said, "Well, they're playing dollar poker. They take out their dollar bills and their numbers on there, and they'll match the numbers. And I don't know what all the deals is with that, but if they've got the right combination or a duplicate of a numbers and so on, they'd get the pot." And so they were playing dollar poker. And said, "When you walk in, they stopped." I said, "Praise God. Why did they stop?" The light overcomes the darkness. I didn't have to tell them to stop. It's just the fact that I would stand for God. And Christians need today to have their eyes open that we need to stand up and live the life that God wants us to live. Let the light shine, and the light will overcome the darkness. And the victory is there. The problem is today we don't stand up. We don't speak out. We don't do anything. We just let it go. We stand still till our eyes get adjusted to the darkness and to where we have compromised, and we just let things happen, not realizing that the victory is in our Lord and Savior. And that is in us, and he is in us, that we can have the victory in this world. We can turn the world upside down through Jesus Christ. And we need to have our eyes open, that we need to realize we need to quit running, and we need to stand against sin, stand against the Satan, stand against his power, because we have God that has all power. The victory is ours. Look at Acts again, verse 26. Chapter 26, pardon me, and verse 18. We're to have our eyes open that we might turn from darkness to light, that we might turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. We need to have our eyes open that we might see that and see how evil it is and how good we can have it through God and the obedience that we can have. And then the third thing that is mentioned here, let me start again at the beginning, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive a forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that they might see the forgiveness of sin. The world doesn't need another program. We've got the only program that'll work, and that's God. The world doesn't need another book. We've got the book. We've got the Word of God. And the world needs to realize the answer does not lie in a lot of things we can do. The answer lies in that we can have forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're trying to present everything and everything else to people to get them to live right when we need to present the good news. They can be forgiven of their sins, but only through Jesus Christ. Man, what a message to proclaim. And what a victory you have to know that you can be forgiven of your sins and the guilt removed. You can be set free, but only through Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. I'm always amazed how simple God makes things. He uses the simple things to overcome that which is complicated. Praise God for that. And the answer is very simple. We try to make it more complicated. We've got to add more things to it. Well, this is too easy. We can't do it this way. We've got to change it in there. And we just mess it up. We need to have our eyes open to know that God knows what He's doing and He does it. And to realize that our forgiveness of our sins doesn't come from our work or our action. It comes from what Jesus has done. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the victory, not our works, but His. And praise God for that. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. We need to have our eyes opened and to realize, how do we clean up from this darkness? How do we clean up from the filth and all that is there? When we went into Africa and there to minister to the people back in the bush area, all the filth that was there. As we walked through there, and we were there in the summertime, and man, it was hot, and the dust and the dirt was blowing, and man, our hair changed color. Didn't have much water to wash it out to begin with, and what little water we had, we tried to take a bath, and then to see the filth that was there, of the polluted water. The water we were washing in was polluted. Man, full of disease, and we were having to be careful about that, and so on the way over to Africa, we had stopped at Amsterdam at the airport there. And I noticed as we were walking through that, waiting for our next flight, there was a sign, showers. Now, why would that airport have showers in it? And you could go in, you could put the coin in the deal, and you could take a shower. Well, after I came out of Africa, we were going to go back through that same airport. I was ready for those showers. I don't know how many showers I took trying to wash it off and trying to feel clean once again. We were trying to protect ourselves from the disease. We had nurses with us. They finally just gave up and they just ministered to the people and said, God's the only one that can clean us. And none of us got sick. As we live in this filth right now, which we can overcome this filth, by being in the light, by following Jesus, by obeying God's word. And then we can be cleansed from sin. Look at it in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, to cleanse us from dust, to forgive us our sins. You need to go home. Go out in the backyard or somewhere where there's some dirt that's water it, kind of get it. Don't get it real muddy. Just get it a little damp. And then get that dirt on your hands. And then look at your hands. You've got some dirt on there. Now think of that dirt as sin. And you realize that you've sinned. And you need to have forgiveness of sins. Now, as we realize the sin in our life, we can ask God to forgive us of our sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And He does. But that's not all He does. And if you was to look at that dirt on your hand and said, okay, I've got sin on my hand, and so I'm going to pray and ask God to forgive me my sins. And you pray, and you know God's forgiven you, but the dirt is still there. God not only forgives you, He washes the dirt off. Look at that verse again. In that verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Revelation, it talks about how that we are washed in His own blood. You know what that means? As long as I've got that dirt on there, I might realize, well, I've been forgiven of it, but it's always going to remind me of that sin. The reality is, God not only forgives me, He washes me of that sin. He washes that dirt off. And when I look at my hand, I'm not reminded of that sin anymore. The guilt is gone. That's the victory that God gives us over sin. And we need to realize that and have our eyes open to it and claim that victory and let the world know they can have victory. Regardless of what they've done, regardless of what's happened in their lives, they can be forgiven and cleansed from it, washed from it, and no longer feel guilty. In other words, they can forgive themselves because God has forgiven them. Oh, what a victory we have. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. Oh, what a precious passage. Jeremiah, a great servant of God. God had used him, was using him, called him. And now God wanted to teach him a lesson. God said, Jeremiah, I have a word for you. And that word is at the potter's house. I can imagine, now he didn't do this, but I can imagine Jeremiah thinking, well, now wait a minute. I know what goes on at a potter's house. What can I learn from the potter's house? He has a wheel there that he has where he can turn that wheel with his feet or with his hand, and he'll take some clay and he'll put it on that wheel and he'll get it to spinning, and with some water he can shape that clay and make it into a whatever type of vessel that he wants to make it, whether a vase or a plate or a bowl or whatever is there, and make a certain design out of it. He said, I know that, and I know that we are clay in the potter's hand. That wasn't the lesson that God was going to teach Jeremiah, or the word that God was going to give Jeremiah. One thing Jeremiah had forgotten was that not only does the potter shape that, but if the clay, for some reason or another, because of a flaw in it, because of a foreign object in it, whether it be a rock or a piece of stick or a leaf or something, if that clay will not submit to the pressure of the hand of the potter and shape it that way, the potter will stop the wheel, take the clay off, and throw it into the corner. Never use it again. Now that's the real part of that. And so Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, expecting to see the same thing he's always seen. So in chapter 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And so the potter was going about just like Jeremiah knew he would do. He was trying to make a vessel out of it. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now, Jeremiah sees this piece of clay is not yielding where the potter wants it to. There's something in the way that shouldn't be there. Now he's expecting the potter to throw it away. But notice now, let me read that verse 4 again. And the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. He did not throw the clay away. He made it in another shape. There's things that happen in our life because we've rebelled against God. There's sins that we've committed. There's things that's happened in our life because of other people and other things and other events in our life that we would think that God will not use us again. Do you realize what I've done in my past? Do you realize what's happened? God won't use me anymore. We feel like we'll just be thrown there. I've got news for you. We need to have our eyes open to know that not only are our sins forgiven, but God will make us into another vessel that He'll use. Praise God for that. He made it again. We might not be the vessel He wanted us to be at the beginning, but He'll not throw you away. Moses is an example of that. David is an example of that. And you could go on down the line and find their vessel was to be shaped in a certain way, and it was marred. And yes, as they repented, God forgave them, but He made them into a different vessel and used them. Oh, how that our eyes need to be opened, that our sins will be forgiven. Let me ask you the question now as you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Now let me ask you a question. Are your eyes open? Are you seeing sin as it really is? Are your eyes open to the filth and the ungodliness, and you feel sick and embarrassed and just don't know what to do with that? Are your eyes open to know that there is victory? That God has the victory and the power to overcome all that's there. And we want to just say, well, they're going to do it anyway, and that's just the way of life. No, it's not the way of life for us. And it doesn't have to be that way. God has the victory. Are your eyes open? Are your eyes open to see the forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Are your eyes open to see that you are washed and can be made clean, and you don't have to carry the guilt of that sin any longer? Why aren't they open? Look now at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Here's a pattern of growth spiritually. Now, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. If you will not walk in the light, if you'll not get involved in the study of God's Word, if you'll not obey God, your eyes are closed, you're blind. You'll forget even what God has done for you, the forgiveness. You'll carry around guilt that you shouldn't carry around. You'll run scared from the sin that's around you. You'll run scared from the dangers that seem to raise their heads and threaten us instead of depending on the power of God. Are your eyes open? Will you repent of your sins and ask God again to cleanse you of your recent sins that you might have your eyes open? Will you get back into God's Word and be faithful in the study of God's Word? Will you obey God's Word that your eyes might be open and you can see the filth and ungodliness of sin and you'll not be comfortable to all of the ungodliness that's going on? That decision is your decision. May we stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.